Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
And now, a word from Mitt's Coffees.
Thank you, Dan. Your friends at Mitt's Coffee are proud to offer Breathless Brew Light Roast Coffee, the perfect blend of beans for a late morning cup that, like lighter roast coffees around the world, pack a higher level of caffeine in a flavorful, drinkable brew. You know, for many people, a medium or dark roast coffee is just too powerful in the late morning.
But with Breathless Light Roast, you can be satisfied and alert, brimming over with new ideas and original concepts. Your colleagues will thank you as well, as you won't be flooding the communal workspace with that, well, some might call dark roast coffee breath. And as many are aware, the lighter roast coffees usually have a higher caffeine level than many of the traditional darker roasts. But don't take our word for it. Let's ask a local coffee aficionado what they think. Are you ready for some questions about Mitt's Light Roast Coffee Breathless Brew, Mrs. Yellow-Headed Blackbird?
Great. What do you think of the lightness of taste that serves as the flavor base for Mitt's Coffee's new morning to midday blend?
Aha, surprisingly potent for such smooth drinkability. Excellent. How would you describe the flavor of this lighter roast?
Indeed. And with a higher caffeine potency, you don't need more than 2 or 3 cups to keep you productive and creative throughout the late morning hours.
Oh, a great insight.
Thank you, Mrs. Yellow-Headed Blackbird. May your mornings continue to be so well-scheduled and task-driven. Folks, you don't have to have as busy a schedule as a yellow-headed blackbird to appreciate Breathless Brew, but we think you'll love it just the same.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic and away from the levee. Let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman with another woodland escape. Well, welcome back to Cabin Country. I'm Fudd Klugman.
I am Bjorn Lloydsted.
And yes, we know it's been a little bit of a stretch of time.
Hiatus. A little bit of hiatus.
Another hiatus.
Yes.
It's like, what's going on with you guys? But
projects galore.
Projects galore. Like the end of last year, 2022, you found yourself kind of getting involved with a band.
Yeah, some music.
Or a couple of
came
bands,
my way,
right?
Yeah. And still very much a part of that. And we get to meet one of the guys who kind of started the band, as it were.
And David Ebner.
David Ebner, yes. Songwriter, guitarist, vocalist, bon vivant, if you will.
And he's got a beautiful cabin that his parents own on Lower Gull Lake.
Yes, unbelievable. He was kind enough to invite us up
to
hang out and... We all used to love this show called Second City Television.
Right,
And there was a John Candy character, Gil Hodges? Gil Hodges was a Los Angeles Dodger. But the fishing musician.
That's right.
And he'd always have rock stars and pop stars on. And they'd go to the lodge and do some songs, and then they'd have, you know, film footage of them out fishing with Gil.
Right.
And... to avoid a lawsuit, I guess we won't call it the fishing musician, but you
we'll
know,
have to come up with something.
Yeah, we've got an open
platform, I guess we could say, to you know, the regional cabin country musicians, poets, artists, authors, who also like camping, cabins, fishing, and possibly hunting.
Yes.
And give these people an opportunity to talk about something other than what they usually do, which is music, art, poetry.
Right.
What do you like to do on water skis? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so,
but you also had a project going on, and it took some time and deserves some air. Let's hear about it.
Back in the golden year of 1989, when you and I were gainfully employed at a food joint, a family food joint, we were
paper hats and greasy aprons,
surly cooks in the back line.
Yes.
That was the year before we built the cabin in my dad's place.
Yep.
But the fall of 1989, I got involved with some other friends, including Buck Fielding.
Right.
Or should we call him Ed Brewster? isn't he one and the same?
Yes.
So tiny.
Anyways, we shot a film in 1989. It was called The Wrong Door, a very low-budget mystery suspense thriller.
Full-length feature.
Feature length, and the notable thing about it, since we had no money and we were in our early 20s and I was a mere 4 or 5 years out of high school, and we figured we could do it on Super 8.
Super 8.
You know, Super 8, if you're familiar with it, is the original old grainy everyday working person's version of making movies.
There
and
you go.
Of course, now our phones have apps on them to try to make them look all
mimic it.
You're right, gritty and scratchy.
Let's make the phone video look like
a
vintage birthday.
I do have that app, but there's nothing like the real thing. If any of you have watched some of the videos on the Cabin Country YouTube channel, you certainly see some old home movies my dad took.
Oh,
Gramps and Uncle Joe.
Right. Upland Game Birds.
Yes, all kinds of things.
Cigars
and
Upland Game Bird smoking cigars.
Yeah, that's right. You're never
smoking
never
an Upland Game Bird. Interesting trips.
We made our film. You can find it on YouTube. I uploaded it just a couple of years ago for the 30th anniversary.
Oh, my.
At any rate, it's being re-released now on a Blu-ray DVD.
Blu-ray.
Because for some odd reason, just in the past couple of years, people have been reaching out to me and some of the other guys. There are VHS collectors out there. They'll collect any movie they can find on VHS tape.
VHS cassette.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And even though we didn't become famous or didn't lead to any big film projects, we did get it sort of distributed, mostly on the West Coast.
Okay.
And it got into some video stores, even Blockbuster.
Right.
So it's out there. And we've been reached out to, and I sent the last couple of copies I had. In fact, they were both my parents' copies. Hey, Dad, do you mind if can I have this?
Take that back.
Somebody wants to buy it. Not only are there VHS collectors, but there's a releasing company that distributes low-budget films reached out to us and said, hey, we want to redistribute.
It's the right time.
Yeah.
For The Wrong Door.
Right, that's
Here
right.
Here we go.
Yes, indeed.
Knock, knock, knock.
We've been scratching our heads going, do you believe it? Look at this. After all these years, somebody's interested in this little film we made.
Wait long enough.
Not only are they going to re-release the film, but of course they did the bonus feature additional things, like they interviewed us.
Sure.
We also did some commentary where we, you know, watched the film.
All the rage, yes.
And made comments, mostly like, oh my gosh, you believe that, you know, the poetic license we took there? And but it was a lot of fun, and I cut together a documentary called Men Make Movie, If Not Millions, and that title is taken from a St. Paul paper news article that the film critic at the time, Deborah J. Kunk, wrote about us. We wanted to get a review of the film.
Yeah.
And she didn't really review the film. She kind of, it was more of a,
the process.
Hey, look what these boys did here in the old neighborhood.
Neat?
Under the glow of St. Paul number one.
Number one in there.
Actually, quite literally, under the glow of St. Paul's number one.
I was on set a few times. Fuck.
That's right.
I remember seeing the glow of St. Paul's number one on the horizon, there on Mounds Boulevard, kind of hanging
around. Mounds Park. We shot out there at night, and you can see the glowing number one in the background.
You bet.
A little bit hard to see because, again, we shot on Super 8 film, didn't have a lot of latitude for exposing at night. But That was great. And yes, Bjorn, you made an appearance as a party goer.
I was, yes. No one might believe this, but kind of a sarcastic, snarky party goer.
Yeah, I know. It was truly out of character.
Stretching
was not typecast at all.
Way beyond.
But, okay, it's called The Wrong Door.
The Wrong Door.
It's about a singing telegram messenger. He's a college student who also sidelines as a singing telegram messenger, and he goes to the wrong door. In fact, it's Bjorn who grabs him when he's at the wrong door. Hey, no, you got the wrong place. It's what place you're looking for is down here. And you even say, nice suit, because he's wearing a court jester outfit.
Kind of like, the Joker out of the bicycle deck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually a brilliant costume designed by one of our production assistants who volunteered her time.
Wow.
At any rate, it's a fun film, and the documentary was fun to put together, and it has taken up quite a bit of time early 2023 here for me. I do recommend that you go and try to find it on YouTube. It's called Men Make Movie, If Not Millions, on YouTube. Maybe you'll find the Blu-ray release at some point. My wife Molly said, "You know, you should why not pitch?
Let's go. Let's hear about it.
You can tell people what you've been up to."
Amen.
Gives you a little personal history of Bjorn and I's beginning, and when we kind of started hanging out more in like '89.
Yes, lean and hungry days
and
creativity.
Like, built the cabin in '90, and then I think your first time up was about '92.
Yeah,
with your lovely wife and newborn
infant son.
Yes,
we had the Bjorn Jr.
Yes, Bjorn Jr. was up there. In fact, when it came to at time to sleep, we let Bjorn and his wife and Bjorn Jr. sleep in the main cabin, and my wife and I slept in the shop.
So you didn't have to listen to them.
Oh yes, yeah. It was frankly that was it. Here, don't feel guilty. Go ahead and
don't like the sound of jet skis. Check out an infant at 3 a.m.
But anyways, that began the long tradition of Bjorn and Fudd.
You bet. Kevin Bond.
Was that the only time that your wife was up there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It was a one shot. Yeah.
So and, it kind of became like, this is you boys go and do your thing up there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it was kind of handed off. Like, I got to see that and that's cool. But you guys like to fish and solve all the problems in the world and drink way too much coffee and go right ahead and do it.
Yes.
And we do.
Yeah, and we do.
And we've turned that into also, film talk.
Yes.
And old radio show appreciation week. And
right.
Of course.
Cabin country.
And our cabin country outdoors artists.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what we're going to call it yet. Musician's pretty good. But
it is pretty good.
But Mike Lean's not a musician. I mean,
no.
He's an author.
But, we've had John Munson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was a musician. We've also got some other people we're going to reach out to. And
yep.
So, it's all the things we kind of like. Music and outdoor stuff. And
Eel pout,
yeah.
Yeah.
But
Courtly Eel.
Some of the music you're going to be hearing from Yeah, Yeah, Fine.
Yeah, Yeah, Fine.
You were part of that
group. I am one half of the rhythm section, yes. I'm the bass player.
The bass player.
You bet.
So pay close attention to the bass lines.
Because there's Bjorn Lloydstedt.
There he is.
In all his...
He's grooving. It's good stuff. I think you're going to like it.
Thumb calloused wonder. Yeah, good stuff.
But let's take you back to our wonderful visit to David's amazing...
Lower Gull Lake. It was
place on Gull Lake.
That wasn't so much a cabin as
one of those lake homes.
Oh, it was beautiful. Gorgeous. Yeah. Unbelievable. And I loved the sailboat art. Motif.
Oh, yes. Outdoor artwork on
Without
the walls and a big fireplace with a stone.
Yeah, fireplace.
The stuff of cabin dreams.
That's right.
It's all right. We still like our little...
The shack is... It's got a
cabin on the river.
You bet.
At any rate, why don't we introduce Mr. Ebner here?
Let's hear from Yeah Yeah Fine's David Ebner. We are joined today by Twin Cities musician. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say St. Paul musician. Do I dare?
That's fine.
That's fine. Yes. St. Paul rocks. Don't forget.
Yes.
We are joined by musician, songwriter, troubadour extraordinaire David Ebner, founder, Monuments to Humanity, and Yeah, Yeah, Fine, the hottest voice coming out of the North at this point. and musician, lifelong. But he likes camping and cabins and fishing.
I do. I'm a flash in the pan, you won't
even see me go. Good to have you, David.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Actually, you're having us. We're in the spacious Ebner cabin as we speak.
Yes.
Kind of blown away here.
It's quite something to go from the...
fishing shack.
The sort of, fishing shack.
Yes.
My dad's 20-foot by 24-foot two-room... I don't know. It's cozy and clean.
It is.
And it's got electricity and a shower.
We had it up to almost 80 degrees last night.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, we got up last night, and it was about 42 degrees inside.
Right.
Which is cold, and it
took
a while to warm up in there.
But once it did.
Oh, yes. Well, I kept waking up every couple of hours and stoking the fire, and on one of those times I woke up, I saw that you had... gotten rid of your sleeping bag and we're all right.
Get a little warmer.
Hot enough now. So,
get a glass of water.
But David's place here, so it belongs to your parents.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's on Lower Gull.
Lower Gull.
So you can look out the windows, the porch windows here, off the dining room, and just see a huge expanse of clean water.
Clear water. Yeah.
No
beautiful
weeds.
Gorgeous. Now, you said there was your family, part of the family, hailed originally from Brainerd.
Correct. My father, being from Brainerd, he had actually family further north that came to Brainerd from Fulton, Minnesota.
Wow. Now, where's Fulton?
Fulton is close to Fargo.
Okay. Northwest corner.
So kind of on the border there.
Yeah. Canadian climates.
Yep.
Absolutely.
And so, actually, it was fascinating because I ended up going up there 3 or 4 years ago to kind of visit the cemeteries of where my kind of great-greats were from and spend some time up there because I had a friend that was up there as well, so we went together.
Sure.
A lot of them came down to the Brainerd area to start their families.
So. Okay. Was there any kind of like businesses or here or anything like
At the Brainerd time, area? Yeah. So at the time when my father is an only child.
Okay.
And my grandfather, his father, was running a pharmacy.
Okay.
In downtown Brainerd.
Right.
And so he had done that for quite a while. And then eventually my father moved down to St. Paul and my mom. And
the rest is history. Absolutely.
Yep.
I would always have to ask if there's an old pharmacy in the family. Were they making things like phosphates and Green River sodas?
Yes. There was a phosphate bar that they would run.
Uh-huh.
It was a big deal back then. You know, that was kind of the...
kind of precursors to mass-produced soda.
Yeah.
And you go in. Green River. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'm not that big a lime fan. But.
Right. I know in St. Paul, there's actually where the St. Clair broiler used to be.
Yeah.
Kitty corner there on the drugstore. They used to, I think they still do.
They do,
Phosphates. Yep.
And they got an ice cream counter and 5-cent coffee. Yeah. At least that used to be
a
shtick. Yeah,
I think that's might still be their thing.
Yeah. It was good stuff.
Yeah.
My kids loved that place.
Yeah. I did too. It was always a fun place to go.
Your prescriptions and have an ice cream while you're here.
Wonderful.
The regulars sitting there at the bar drinking their coffee.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You have a particular favorite when you think about the strange old days of soda fountain fun?
Oh, gosh. I was a big fan of lime.
Mm-hmm.
But then once they kind of got really fancy, I'd have they do the French where they put the cream in.
Oh, my.
And they'd really kind of...
jazz it up a little.
Jazz it up for sure. I've been passing through your hard drive
like a viral video. We showed up and David, you'd already told us about your... we're going to talk about all things music.
Yes.
Clearly, we need to know what your favorite lure is.
And yes.
Go ahead.
So mine is the Daredevil.
All right. Particular color scheme you like?
Yeah, I loved the kind of the banner of the white and red.
Yep, classic red and white.
And it didn't matter what fish I was fishing for. It
yeah.
was just kind of my all-around favorite growing up.
And good size spoon, kind of a smaller version?
I would say it was a medium size, yeah.
Okay, all right.
And didn't catch too much with that particular lure,
right.
but always loved to use it.
Got an interesting shape to them. They move strangely
yeah.
going through
yeah.
the water, you know,
yeah.
kind of unique. On the Gull River, where you're at there, Fudd, it's a weed grabber. Those treble well, hooks yeah. are weed grabbers. That's
yeah, it's very weedy on the Gull, so we have to cast in the middle of the channel if we can. We have a dock that goes right, we're just 15, 20 feet away from
right.
where the channel is. So it's a great fishing spot, actually.
Yeah, and no.
That's where you cast your daredevils if it's...
That's right.
Before it gets too weedy.
I was always keen on the kind of like blaze orange hammered copper daredevil.
Right. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just I never found one with a little daredevil head on it.
Yep.
Yeah. I liked the daredevil head.
Yeah.
Cool. And of course, we're going through old tackle boxes.
Oh, Fudd,
yeah. You and I both found...
Found the original devil
old,
head.
Old.
I think even our friend Mike Leon had commented on...
Right.
Stay away from the knockoffs, which your dad had a few.
My dad had a lot of knockoffs.
We went through Bjorn's tackle box and found some old daredevils, like black and white and green and white, still in their plastic.
Zaire Shopper City tackle.
Oh, sure. I'm familiar with
75
those.
75 cents a
yeah.
gem.
Yep.
Gem liquidators.
Never taken out.
Wow.
So they must be
never
worth
used.
Maybe 80, 85 cents now.
Right. You know? Yeah, a whole buck and a half or something.
But so daredevil was your favorite. Yeah. Did you have a favorite fish that you caught most often or that you like to catch the most?
So, I mean, the one story that I really remember quite well was when we were over on the other side of the lake out on my neighbor's dock. It was just this awful storm with just, you know, white caps and everything.
Right.
I had nothing on my hook, and I was just doing it for the leisure, and I caught a largemouth bass. I had that mounted in Brainerd and is hanging on my wall now down in the cities. And that was when I was probably around 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, was there a weight on this, David? How big a fish are we talking?
Oh, gosh. I mean, for me back then, because I thought it was just enormous.
Absolutely.
I would say it was probably about 5 pounds.
That's a good size bass.
Yeah.
This delicious bass.
Yeah. And nothing on the hook. I was just blown away.
Yeah.
You know, we usually our go-to are either night crawlers or leeches.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And that particular day,
absolutely
I had nothing going.
Nothing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I did something similar with a neighbor's dock at one point on the whitefish chain where it was, I think my dad was just trying to get rid of me.
Right.
And I had a neighbor friend up with me, and said, why don't you guys take this can of corn and your Zebco reels over onto the neighbor's dock? And it was, I have no idea why they had like an 8-section dock going
way out in the middle
of this long, skinny lake, because I was like, that's almost hazardous.
Yeah.
You know, if people are water skiing or whatever, but...
Yep.
Yeah, went on and on and on. And... So we stood out there, and same kind of deal, kind of humid and gross and gray and steamy, and the weather was starting to get funky, but with whole corn niblets and hooks, we got into a school of sunfish, and it was just one after another, and, you know, so Dad, we're keeping them all. You're going to clean every one of them. He said, absolutely not.
Oh.
Getting rid of those right now, buddy.
That's genius on the corn, though. That's real.
Yeah, I guess it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad shared a story in a recent episode of ours where he was with my cousin Doug at the culvert, which is just a back bay up on the Gull River that goes into a back lake, Red Fox Lake, I think. And
oh, nice.
They didn't have worms or ran out, and my cousin Doug used a dandelion and caught a sunfish with it.
Wow.
So there you go, depending on how hungry those
cigar
butts. On a past episode, a couple of years now, I tried featuring a cigar butt
cigar
as a possibility.
Butt lure, yeah.
Or well, something.
There's a Japanese lure company online that offers a top floater.
That's a cigar
butt?
That's
a cigar, with a human face.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. And I like, wow, that's unusual. And are they biting on cigars these days? You know?
Yeah, oh my
Depends.
God.
Is that a Candela? Is it... Robusto, right. Connecticut rapper.
Big Churchill, maybe, yeah, for a Muskie. Yeah. But. Well, looking out again at this beautiful lake.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
What's it? I'm asking this as somebody who's had like a 5 mile strip of a river to go up and down, and that's it.
Right.
Way different than when you look out your window. You've got a huge lake here.
Yes.
What? How do you even, like, do you take long boat rides where, like, well, we're going to spend the day and we're going to go to the other side? Yeah.
No, it's a great question, because what we end up doing is we just kind of start out and take the whole kind of coastline and go around.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For two reasons. The first being is that we like to look at, you know, the cabins and, yeah, different, sure, styles.
Absolutely. Wave to people.
But also, I don't know the full story behind it, but back in the day, this could be part myth, but there is a huge rock pile if you were to go straight across from where we're at and on the other side. And it's laid out in buoys, and unless you're really familiar with the lake, I mean, you could easily hit the propeller with it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
You know, really, if you're going full speed, you would mess
serious
things up.
Damage.
Yeah, so that's another reason why we've kind of been doing that every, you know, year.
Get to know the lake.
Yep.
Get,
yep,
to know the lake. And this, yeah, is officially Lower Gull Lake, right? This,
correct.
Is, okay. Yep. And then Gull Lake is over some more?
It kind of, looking out at the lake where we're at, it wraps around to the right and,
sure,
goes a little bit more.
Dog leg right.
And eventually you get to some restaurants like Bar Harbor and, yeah, Zorba's,
yeah. Yeah,
which will then take you into Margaret Lake.
Okay.
And then if you keep going, take you to like Nisswa Lake.
Mm. Sure.
I know that also this part is also referred to as Dutchman's Bluff.
Dutchman's Bluff. All right. I like that.
So, yeah, it's a really, I like that. It's a really, yeah, cool name. I'm trying to figure out how I can utilize
Dutchman's
that.
Dutchman's Britches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a song title, David.
Right, exactly. There you go, yeah.
Dutchman's Bluff.
Yeah, spent a half, yeah, hour out on Dutchman's Bluff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's part of the reason why we kind of go around the coastline area.
Something very similar happened on a fishing trip with my. I always refer to the guy as my sort of my surrogate grandfather.
Okay.
Lived kitty corner from us.
Yeah.
And Fudd, you've heard the stories of, like, mm-hmm, in fact, you've used the man's bamboo rod.
Yes.
Yeah, the fly rod. And
yes.
He was a hunter, a fisherman, the whole bit, and from the Onalaska, Wisconsin area.
Oh, okay.
La Crosse, Onalaska. And Coulee Country, as they like to call it. But he and my dad and I went to kind of mid-northern Ontario, mm, way back in the day, about 1977. It was kind of one of these fly-in things with, you know, the float plane and the
whole, oh, bit, for sure.
And huge, yeah, lake, huge lake with lots of, you know, there were like back bays and the main water and more back bays and all this,
yep,
kind of stuff. It had its own waterfall on it. I mean, it was,
oh,
crazy. We saw moose, you know, there were wolves. I was like, wow, man, this is for real. Horrible fishing. Unbelievably,
oh,
bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, and they kept talking about, you're never going to believe it. They're just going to leaping into the boat. Well, nothing leaping into the boat. I'll say that much. But
fridge full of lard.
Yeah. unplugged refrigerator full of old blocks of lard. They sent you out. Every group went out with at least 2 pounds of lard because you're going to use that to fry,
yeah,
your fish, of course.
Mouth-watering.
And this refrigerator was unplugged.
Oh.
I don't know if there was any power to this cabin, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's unplugged, and then it was, like, filled with old pounds of lard. And it was just like, don't open that refrigerator door, whatever you do.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we were flying along through the middle of the lake at one point, and no buoys, no markers, no,
yep,
nothing. I say flying along. It was like a 16-foot fishing boat with a 5-horse.
Oh, wow.
And two adult men and a teenager. And
yep.
But out in the middle of the lake, hit a column of rock.
Yeah.
That just came. It was like 6 inches below the surface. I mean, right out. And it's like being out on Minnetonka or
yeah,
White Bear or something. And
yeah,
like, right out there is this huge basalt column coming, you know, and I was like, why did they not mark this?
Right.
Why? But it's like, we stopped dead in our tracks. The motor started making a lot of interesting noise.
Yeah.
And I had like a 75-year-old man in my lap.
Yeah.
You know, we now had a I don't know what you would have called it. Top floater lure stuck in his thumb. Just like, oh man, they were both hot. You know, wow. My dad and Kenny were both just like, what the heck was that? I don't believe it.
Yeah, and that's awful.
It was something interesting. I mean, I remember we left the place and we kind of let him know, you know, the one motor didn't work and both boats leaked. And the guy who flew the plane said, yeah, it's nothing. Both my pontoons leak on this airplane, so don't worry about it. All right. Well,
do you see that in flight?
Yeah. Be glad we got off the lake. Yeah, there's something else, but... Fudd, you look like you're about to say something.
Well, I'm just curious, again, with the lake and kind of going around the shore and everything. What do you know? Are you familiar with the depths of most of, well, at least in your part of Lower Gull here?
You know, I would say that our dock is out 30 or 40 feet.
Okay.
And then at that point, when you're standing, it's about 5.5 feet.
Right.
Between here and where Ernie's is, there's, I believe it's owned by like some park over there where it's just always preserved.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I remember like we'd have like one of the depth meter things. Yeah. And you could not get anything. I mean, it was so deep.
Oh, that, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
I would not have guessed.
Back in the day, I don't know if you're familiar with a place called the Quarter Deck.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I think maybe because you were talking about
okay.
It.
Yeah. Which
part of
is
local
in that,
lore.
It's in that Quarter region deck. Over there. And in that area, you can't get a reading on the
depth,
how deep
the
it
depth
is.
Reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's if you're moving slow, too. I know if you're moving too fast.
Oh, yeah. Even if you're going, if you're just like kind of just trailing
dead
along.
Calm.
Okay.
Yeah. It's hard to get a read.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Fairly well versed, David, in the Nisswa area.
Yeah.
Pequot.
Yeah. Yep.
Because a while ago, Fudd and I were lucky enough to have Sue Scott and Tim Russell on.
From Perryhome Companion.
Yeah. And Tim Russell talked about going to a family cabin
on Lower Cullen.
Lake. Oh, Cullen, yeah.
Yeah. You know where that's at?
I know where it's at. I've not been there, but yeah, I know where it's at. Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Can't be too far from. Here?
No, no. I would say it's about 16 minutes, 15, 16 minutes. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of beautiful lakes in the area.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're on a little weedy river, but we love it. We love it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful patch of weed, and it's a beautiful thing. Ospreys and eagles and
otters. We have a lot of ospreys over here, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we also noticed driving. Now, it's October 15th today.
Correct.
Just to be specific about what time of the year and
the Ides of October.
It's hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
There were deer all over the place.
Yes. I mean,
this is almost like a refuge on all the cabin properties.
Yeah, what's the story with that? We came in here, there's deer everywhere. What's going down, man? What's this all about?
It's, you know, one of those things where, I mean, ever since we've had this property, there have been deer occupying that particular area coming in, but it's, you know, it's a no hunting zone area.
Right.
And they come in, we have a couple of foxes every now and then that'll come, you know, down in the summertime and play around. And at one point, I think about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a coyote that was prowling the little coastline here. And, but yeah, I mean, we'll get all types of little creatures coming down here. But specifically deer, they do pop down. And even in front of the cabin, we'll
hang out.
See them walking around.
They get pretty comfortable.
They do.
Around people. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The coyote. Now, did anybody in this area of the lake get kind of freaked out and call the DNR or like, hey, we got a coyote out here?
No, I mean, at the time, so...
Terrible Tim Torgerson comes out with his coyote handcuffs and takes him in the back of the truck.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at the time, we had actually, we were waking up, it was the morning, and our dog, Chucho, he wanted to go outside. And when I looked outside, I saw that there was a coyote, and it was already kind of walking in the water and was coming out because the paws were like, you know, had been wet.
Yeah.
And so kept him inside and waited until that to come. That was the first and only encounter that I had with a coyote up here.
Right.
So,
Well, in my neck of the woods, which is also your neck of the woods, yeah. we've seen several coyotes running down the streets.
Yeah,
in fact,
yeah.
a joke at one point.
Under the glow of St. Paul's number one?
Under the glow of St. Paul's number one, very close to the Minneapolis border. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, the neighborhood's called Highland Park, and they referred to it in the local paper as the Hiote.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The Hiote, yeah.
And somebody said, well, I got news for you. There's more than one Hiote. And if you got one, you've got a bunch.
You do.
They're probably down by the river, you know, hanging out.
That's exactly, yeah. I mean, because our house is about four blocks from the river. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them will come and walk the streets and roam around.
Sure.
But when COVID happened, I would say about maybe 6 months after that, we started getting deer walking in front of our house.
Right.
Because of, again, with the acclimation of them finally not seeing people on cars and all that, it was just like they got closer and closer.
Right.
So, yeah, that was a first for us.
Well, our old place, we just moved away from recently, but I remember watching what I thought was somebody's Great Dane leap the fence and come running up the street towards our, oddly enough, Halloween block party.
Yeah.
The street closed off, and I was like, man, that's a big dog.
Right.
With 8 points. That's a buck. This thing just kind of flew by, and I had a neighbor who was way into that holiday as a time to festoon his lawn and dress up like a
ghoul
staff member. No, he was always decked out like a Hogwarts professor with the hat and the moon glasses.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, the thing leaped over his fence and then through his, and he had a tiny little yard. It was like a half parcel, and the thing went over his fence and then through his yard and over again, down Montreal, down Davern. I'm sure headed back to the river.
Yeah,
but I was just like, "That's a Great Dane. That's an 8-point Great Dane. No, that's a buck. Okay, weird."
I think we got to take a short break because I see that my recorder is down to one bar.
Uh-oh. Thank you, Don. We'll take a minute.
Yeah, we'll take a minute and come right back with
David Ebner.
David.
Excellent.
Relocated, designated to a place where alligators play. Still I'm grasping, cause this has been so...
We take you now to a national forest of the North Country. One of the major forest resources is the opportunity for healthful outdoor recreation. Hiking, picnicking, camping, mountain climbing, hunting, fishing, and nature study are recreational activities which thousands of visitors to our national forests enjoy. There is no charge for entering most of our national forests, and the U.S. Forest Service asks of its visitors only that they observe the few simple regulations, particularly as to the sanitation and care with fire. Today, as we tune in on the Jack Pine Ranger District, we find Supervisor Eakins and Jimbo inspecting one of the so-called special use areas, where a number of families have put up summer cabins on sites leased under permit from the Forest Service.
Where are you going now, Mr. Eakins?
I think we better have a look at that water supply, Jimbo.
Okay. Gosh, it'll sure be a relief to go by ourselves for a while. All we've been hearing all morning is foolish questions from the tourists and summer home permittees.
Well, you know, they sound foolish to us, Jimbo. But what sort of questions would you ask a sailor on an ocean liner, for instance?
He'd ID me as a landlubber, all right. Heaving ho!
I reckon we all act irresponsible when we get out of our backyards. I remember one time I was in Chicago, I stopped a man and asked him how to get to the post office. There I was, standing right in front of him.
What did he say?
He gave me that same kind of look you give that girl who asked you if forest rangers ever get thrown out of their park vehicles.
Well, some of these folks do ask such silly questions. One girl stopped me the other day when I was coming out of the store at Fizzy Creek, and she pointed at my badge and said, "Say, Mr. Ranger, what does that CC stand for?"
Did it ever occur to you that the young lady maybe wanted to get a real close-up of a handsome, sunburned young forest ranger?
You're just funning me, right, Soup?
Well, here's where we draw the water supply for the Maples Tourist Campground, Jimbo. The summer home permittees in this area get their drinking water here, too. Creek shows effects of that big burn we had, all right.
Well, what do you think, Superintendent? Are we going to have to develop a new water supply?
Looks like we'll have to, Jimbo. With the forest cover burned off where it protects the headwaters of our little creek here, It's going to run muddy after every rain now, until we can get the new forest growth started. That might take several years.
I guess the summer home folks won't mind using the spring up the road, temporarily at least. It'll be good exercise.
Well, they'll have to use it for their drinking water for the time being, but it's quite a ways for them to have to carry their water.
Well, there's always something we can blame the fire on. Doggone. Forest fires sure can be a lot of trouble.
Yes. Folks around here will be feeling the effects of that fire on Eagle Mountain for years to come, me boy.
I guess they will. Oh, boy.
It might have been a bit worse, though. We did pretty well to stop it where we did, with the wind whipping up that way.
I'll say so. Boy, I sure had my guts in knots for a while.
Yeah. The greatest damage from that fire, Jimbo, is the loss in watershed values. Burning up that forest cover that helps regulate the flow of water from that drainage. And water's life, boy. Besides coming in handy now and again to wash your face in.
Does come in handy for that. I think I'll wash a little sweat off here in the creek right now.
Go to it, son. We're below the water supply intake. The bears won't mind.
Boy, it's still plenty cold. There. If I can get my handkerchief out of my pocket for a towel.
Well, if you'd have taken your handkerchief out before you'd started, you wouldn't have had to reach into your dry pocket with your wet hand. And you've demonstrated the advantage of careful planning as a basis for operations. Not to mention the young campers yelling at you that you've just wet your britches.
That's right. Well, it feels good anyhow. Cools you off a lot. I was just thinking about rolling up my slacks and taking off my socks, wading in up to me shins.
Yeah, sure. Well, here comes one of our summer home permittees.
Say, look at that umbrella she's carrying. Who is she?
That is Mrs. Pitchpipe. She's the one that was complaining a few weeks ago about her neighbor chopping wood too early in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, wasn't too keen on the smell of his bacon coming out of that site either. Come to think of it, she's complained about how loud our horses are when we ride through these areas checking on sites.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I reckon we'll probably hear some more fussing and foolish questions now. Good morning, Mrs. Pitchpipe.
Look here, sir. Our water is muddy. It has been muddy most of the time lately. Crunchy, foul.
Yes, yes, I know, Mrs. Pitchpipe. You see, that's because the big fire we had up on Eagle Mountain burned off the forest understory that protected the headwaters of our creek here.
Oh, is it, huh? Well, you rangers shouldn't have let it burn off.
Say, what do you think we're doing up there on that fire? Fighting night and day without any sleep and everything?
You should have put it out right away.
We did put it out. It was a tough fire to fight, Mrs. Pitchpipe.
I reckon you better be pretty thankful we got it stopped when we did, Mrs. Pitchpipe. If we hadn't, would have kept it right on this way and burned out your summer home and all the rest of the cabins in this area.
Well, your job is to keep such fires from starting in the first place.
Well, we've been trying to do that for 25 years, Mrs. Pitchpipe, and we're still trying. If you could suggest a quicker way to teach people how to be more careful with fire, we'd sure be grateful.
They ought to be put in jail.
Well, maybe so. That reminds me, Mrs. Pitchpipe, I do have a note in my book to call your attention to the fact that I've noticed you've been burning trash too close to that old dead log back at your house.
Well, I have?
Yes, you have. And if that log got to smoldering and a heavy wind came up, it might scatter sparks all over the place. Fires start that way sometimes.
They do?
Yes. And we certainly don't want the woods around here to catch on fire, because if they did, your cabin would be sure to burn up too.
What? Well, why didn't you say something about this before? You'd have let my cabin burn up without doing a thing. Land's sake.
Not if we could help it, ma'am. You see, your campsite permit carries with it certain conditions about care with fire. I thought you'd be familiar with them.
Yeah, and what was it you said that they ought to do with people that are careless with fire?
Look here, young man. Don't you try to insinuate that I'm careless about fire. Who is this man, Mr. Ranger?
He's the assistant, Mr. Quark. He's the assistant to your ranger, Joe Baskin.
Well, he is very impertinent. And I'm sure he's the one who makes all the noise with that siren on the fire truck.
No, ma'am. Not guilty this time.
Why can't you have them run their siren more quietly? It's very disturbing.
Well, you see, Mrs. Pitchpipe, when the truck's going to a fire, it gets at a pretty good clip, and I reckon it's best to let the other folks know it's coming.
Well, it is the most annoying thing I have ever heard. Why can't you have it go some other way when it goes to a fire?
Yeah, we have to send it the quickest way possible, Mrs. Pitchpipe.
Well, I suppose I'll have to put up with it. But I wish you would change the telephone line that runs by my place.
Well, now, what's the matter with that?
I don't like it.
I see.
And it's right in the way of my view of Cloud Lake.
Well, now, that's a shame.
Why can't you move it over by the Dalton's cabin?
I'm afraid we'll have to leave it where it is, Mrs. Pitchpipe. We've used a lot of care in picking out where it was to go, and that seems to be the best route for it.
I'm sure it would do just as well if it went by the Dalton's cabin. Oh, and I've been intending to speak to you about this, too. Have you noticed how Mr. Dalton's wife runs around?
I can't say that I have. Does she do that?
Well, I wouldn't say a word if she wasn't one of my best friends, but I think you should speak to Mr. Dalton about it. I really think you should.
Well, I'm afraid that's a little outside my boundaries, Mrs. Pitchpipe. Even if I am the forest supervisor. But to get back to this water supply business, I guess you'll have to get your husband to carry drinking water from that spring up the road till we can get a pipe down here.
I certainly will not.
Well, I reckon about the easiest way to get it, unless you want to have the water hauled in from town.
But I can't allow my husband to carry water that far. I have to watch his health every minute, carefully. And besides, well, it's rather degrading carrying water in buckets.
Never felt that way when I carried water, and I have a sort of feeling, Mrs. Pitchpipe, that your husband might enjoy it. In fact, it might even be good for him.
Well, I suppose we'll have to put up with it.
That's just it. Look here, Mrs. Pitchpipe, you get the wrong slant altogether.
Sir!
You've got the wrong idea of a summer outing. Most folks come up here just for the opportunity, for the privilege of putting up with stuff like that. They come up here for a change, and it's things like carrying water and chopping their own wood that make it a change from the way they're used to living. You see, they come up here expecting to find things different, and they're ready to put up with it. Not only that, but to get all the fun they can out of it.
Well, I never heard such a ridiculous thing.
Take this young Mrs. Dalton you're talking about. She's having the time of her life, riding and hiking and playing with the kids and working alongside the men, and doesn't seem to mean a thing except that she knows how to make the most of her summer outing.
It is a scandal the way she carries on. And
now you take my advice, Pitchpipe, and go back to that husband of yours and get him a couple of buckets and tell him to take off that coat, and I bet he'll have the time of his life.
I certainly will not.
And you ought to try carrying a bucket or two yourself, Pitchpipe. Be good for you.
Sir, I'll not listen to such talk any longer. Good day.
So long, Mrs. Pitchpipe.
Gosh, she sure can take the joy out of a life, can't she?
She means all right, Jimbo. She just has to get a few kicks out of her system now and then so she'll feel better. Come on, boy. Let's get lined up on where we want to run this new pipeline.
All right. Gosh, we've had enough funny questions and everything already to last us a month.
Well, I guess Mrs. Baskins isn't in the sitting room, Jimbo.
Yeah, she didn't expect me back to the station so early. Oh, Mrs. Baskins!
Back already?
How'd the day go here at the station, Mrs. Baskins? Anything out of the ordinary happen?
Oh, nothing special, Mr. Eakins, except that Mr. Blanche, one of Joe's sheep permittees, you know, called up and complained that Mr. Pringle's herders were letting their sheep run over on his grazing allotment.
Yeah, better make a note to speak to Pringle's herders about that, Jimbo.
Okay, I'll tell Joe I took care of it.
And then there were a lot of telephone calls, mostly tourists asking questions.
That's all we've been getting today up on the summer home area. One goofy question after another.
Yeah, this must be strange question day. What was bothering him, Mrs. Baskins?
Well, one man called up and wanted to know if it was all right to feed the bears that come around the campground. I told him he'd better not let them eat out of his hand if he had any future need for the hand.
That's a good one.
And then there were several other people that stopped by and a lot of phone calls about little things, but I think I got everybody satisfied.
There's the phone again now. I'll get it. Hello, Jack Pine Ranger Station. Yes, ma'am.
And I'm an interest.
Oh, well, just a minute, please. That's Mrs. Duval, one of the summer cabin people. She says there's a great big wolf spider in her cabin. She wants the ranger to come take it out.
Tell her to take a broom to it.
Hello, yes, Mrs. Duval. Why don't you try taking a broom and... Well, all right. Goodbye. She says the spider's gone now anyhow.
Probably it was the scaredest one of the two.
Say, this is getting on my nerves. I suppose it's a ranger's duty to shoo spiders out of people's cabins and tents too, huh?
It's a ranger's duty to listen patiently to people's troubles and questions and help the visitors to this forest any way he can, Jimbo.
Someone's coming up on the front porch. I wonder.
Sure enough. He looks kind of serious, doesn't he? Like he's got something on his mind.
I bet he's going to ask some crazy question or crab about something, too.
Yes, or another impossible request, I suppose.
Say, Ranger.
Yes, sir. Come on in, sir.
Are you the ranger in charge here?
No, that ranger's away for a couple of days, but I'm the supervisor. Will that work for you?
Well, I've been traveling over your national forest here. I stopped at your Tamarack campground.
Yes, sir. Anything wrong?
I've got to compliment you fellows on the excellent way you're managing this forest.
Hell no, thank you, sir.
Won't you sit down, mister?
Say, have a chair, won't you?
Oh, let's all have a song, yeah? What do you say?
Well, I guess it wasn't such a bad day for Jimbo after all. It's a hard job to satisfy everybody all of the time, but Paul Bunyan's foresters are always endeavoring to look after the welfare of their forest visitors as best they can and to render efficient and disinterested public service at all times. Tune in Thursday after next at this same hour for another look-in on Ranger Joe and Jimbo. Paul Bunyan's Foresters comes to you as a presentation of the Cabin Country Broadcasting Network with the cooperation of the Upper Midwest Cut Timber Association and the Cabin Country Forestry Service. This is Blood Luskin speaking.
Seems like I've been here before. I've seen those stockings hanging on your shower door. You sent me off, you had enough. Now you think I am just your jazzy afterthought.
You know, I've described our place, you know, a 20 by 24 foot comfy shack. But
it is.
This is a kind of a lake home cabin.
Yes.
Give people a mental tour of what this house is and when it was built. And
yeah, absolutely. So this was built back in the early 90s, I would say like around 92, 93. When you come in, you are facing a attached garage. So you go into the garage, and above that is a loft area.
Mm. And you walked us through that, right?
Yeah, we saw that.
But very spacious.
Yes, very spacious. And then if you come through the front door, then obviously you come into where we are in the dining room area, which is also kind of open space to the kitchen and the living room. And then behind where Blake is...
Bjorn.
Bjorn.
Yeah.
we also have a porch with a deck that's kind of a wraparound.
Right. Oh, nice.
Beyond the living room, we have a den area, and then upstairs we have two bedrooms and the loft.
Lots of room for families and stuff, so you could really have a large group up here.
Correct. All season long.
I mean, yeah.
You're not like... Let's get the sleds out and cruise across Lower Gull on the ice, are you?
No, but that is interesting that you bring that up because that is something that
there's anything wrong with that. It didn't really seem like we never talked about that, so I wasn't sure if you did.
Yeah,
I know that's huge up here.
Oh, very much so, especially with snowmobiles.
You bet.
You know, you get around the 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock hour, and you see just a string of lights coming at you from across the lake.
Yeah.
And looking out of the cabin to the right, where there's bluffs, you can see the lights they have huge floodlights on over at Ski Gull, if you've ever driven by that.
Interesting.
And that's become kind of a very popular destination for people that are up here, either coming from the cities or who live up here to come and downhill ski. And then you have others who just kind of do some snowshoeing, around the area.
Cross-country skiing, I'm guessing.
Yep.
Nordic.
And then I forget the month, but there is a huge ice fishing competition up here.
Oh, cool. Okay.
In the wintertime as well. That's become very popular and has been covered by the big local news stations
over
the years. So
not probably fishing for eel pout like in Walker, Minnesota.
The eel pout festival. I don't think so. That's kind of like it's got its own curious kind of like Sturgis of the North feel to it. It's really turned into something.
Yeah.
Crazy, and like bowling for frozen eel pout and all that sort of stuff. The eel pout girls, and like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Plenty of winter activity up here.
Oh, yeah.
If you're into it.
Yeah. We try to get up here as much as possible over the off season for some of the holidays and whatnot. It's fun to kind of to get away and come up here. And
the house here is, how far from the shoreline would you say? It's not too far, like...
probably about 50 yards.
We're 75 feet from the shore. Now, the new code is that your cabin has to be 100 feet right.
Yeah.
From the river.
Yeah.
From the river, yeah. But I don't know what it's like on a lake, right. But...
So at our old place, we had it right on the water.
Oh, okay, a boathouse?
We had a boathouse that we didn't really use the actual storage of boat for that.
Right.
But the top part, you had a sleeping area.
Hmm.
And so similar to the loft that I showed you to right. earlier, was kind of the same setup. It was gorgeous because we had these wood panels that would come down and you would lock them. Otherwise, you open them, it would swing up and it had like a little lock that you put on the hook.
Sure.
The,
yeah.
The little eye hook.
Sure. Like hurricane doors yep. or something. Yeah.
Yep. And so, and then we had screens. So if it was nice out, you would just leave them up.
There you go.
And you could hear the sounds of the waves and the water.
Oh, nice, Danny.
And it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And now, because of that, this was back in like the 70s and mm-hmm. you know, 80s. Mm-hmm. Now they have to be grandfathered in. So it's right. one of those yeah. things that if you are right. to do that, it has to, otherwise you have to really, like you were saying earlier, build back.
Absolutely.
And so that was a fortunate thing back then that we had that I really, truly miss, because that was just probably the highlight of my childhood coming up here, was being able to sleep in the boathouse.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a northern experience of having a fort.
A clubhouse, yeah.
Yeah, or yeah. clubhouse.
Yeah, fort.
You know, up all night and... playing games and looking at, we had like all the Mad magazines and we had, you know, comic books of Archie
sure,
and all
sure.
those things. And so it was just a lot of fun back then. And
right.
those were really fun memories right. and something. And we had an outhouse,
oh,
which was
right.
another
okay,
highlight
yeah.
that
you
we
bet.
Loved.
Unique.
The crapper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. The crapper. Yes.
Yeah. That, that was a big thing back then. And we used back then. But then also going further back before we took our break, you were talking about a time where the fish got left in the fridge.
Right.
We had a very similar experience when we would fish all season. When we got up to Labor Day, we would still clean the fish.
Right.
And we would still put them away so we would eat them. And oftentimes, we would leave them and forget them when
Whoops.
We closed
oh.
shop.
Mm.
So when we came back and the power was off,
Yabba.
And it was springtime, we had a very not-so-great encounter with
oh
a lot of dead fish.
Wow.
Mainly panfish.
Aromatic.
Yes, yeah. yes.
Fragrant. That's a
something
smell.
To remember.
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't
yeah,
forget
you don't
that
forget
either.
It.
We were just reminiscing about several seasons ago.
Yeah.
And coming up late summer.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was, a carp?
Oh, yes.
Laying
I think it was a carp.
Amidst, laying there bloated in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Amidst the duckweed, you know,
oh,
just
yeah.
looking like if you touch it with a stick, it's going
to
explode.
So we tried to
move
get
it
away from the dock.
Out into the channel of the river and let it carry this thing down. And all we ended up doing was basically piercing this thing and
getting
over.
Goodbye.
And it went float back.
Oh, and it kept coming back. Yeah, it was like a cheap suit.
There's a Mark Twain story about that. Some barrel or on a river or something, and some wooden barrel is floating and seems to follow the vessel.
Oh,
there
is.
And then I think it's some spookster, I don't know, or
the
maybe,
haunted buoy.
Yeah, and,
yes.
and I think there was something frightening in it. So,
yeah,
we won't open that Bluebeard's box,
not yet.
But,
right,
but that's what
yes.
it was like. It was like, oh, let's
box,
get this thing out
yes.
of here, but it would just keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah,
oh man,
the carp came back.
The carp kept coming back. Well, that, and if you remember way down on the curve of the river by where the old railroad
oh,
collector
the,
used to be, that.
Beaver.
Seven times its normal size, bloated beaver.
Wow.
Laying there in the duckweed, just kind of rolling back
that
and forth.
That I've never seen. The fish I have, but...
And all I could think was,
beaver,
if anybody
no.
fired like a BB gun at that thing, there would be an explosion.
Oh.
Followed by a wave of chemical warfare. That's not even funny.
We have to evacuate this end of the river.
Everybody out. It's bad.
Wow.
Hazmat.
Wowzers.
Yeah, no good. Well, I remember Tim Russell talking about Lower Cullen Lake and their fish house and their boathouse. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
And the young people camping out in the boathouse.
Yep, yep.
The screen windows, and let's all grab a couple
of Oh, yes,
Cokes
his fond memories
chips.
Of...
peeing through the screen.
Peeing through the screen
yeah.
windows.
Oh,
didn't
my
go,
God.
Didn't want to go outside.
Yeah.
So you just pee through the window screens.
We used during the 4th, we used to buy a ton of bottle rockets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And back then, because we thought it was fun and legal, we would fire them at each other.
Absolutely. I did that. Why not?
Yeah. Right? It's safe.
Yeah.
It's good idea. Clean fun.
It's not funny until someone loses an eye. That's hilarious.
Right. I mean, growing up, we were... I would say, except for two, we were all boys on our block.
Right.
So at one point, I was not a part of this, but my two older brothers were, and they would line up all the boys in the alley laying down, and you tried to see how many you could jump of your friends with
on
a bike.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was
a great way to crush a pancreas or something. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yikes. Man.
So, yeah, there were a lot of those fun moments back
good,
in the day.
Wholesome, great, right. Entertainment. Yeah. Wonder years.
Exactly.
But we used to do the same. We'd ride our bikes down, you know, to the end of the block, which was quite a ways. I mean, it was we lived on kind of a meandering street, and then our neighbors had built a rebar-enforced concrete driveway with the big kind of flange sides coming
out.
And you would ride as fast as you could and take flight off that thing into my front yard. And I still remember watching my poor, poor neighbor Dennis hit that thing right after they'd graveled the roads.
Oh, jeez.
And he did one of those, like, power faceplant spins in the rocks and, like, was pretty badly.
I did that to my knee.
Oh, my God. Well, he looked like he'd faced, you know, five rounds against Sonny Liston or something. Right. And he was just like, oh, my God, dude. I mean, he couldn't even come out and play for a while because he was just like, my face hurts.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing him on that bike later, and then the whole thing just collapsed in half.
Oh, my God.
He started laughing, holding the handlebars, and the other half's rolling downhill behind him. Well, just desserts, I guess. But
wow.
Yeah, God. Boy, the old days of those, they oiled the streets and then rocked pea gravel, and you'd hit that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember the South African World Cup of years ago and the vuvuzela plastic trumpets that annoyed everybody.
Oh, they were.
And I had one of those.
Yeah.
I had one of those, and I was riding my bike, one hand on the you know, handlebars and the vuvuzela to my face as I hit a big drift of loose pea gravel.
Yeah.
And,
I had that when I was
pulling rocks out of
too.
My knee skin.
That's happened to me, too, in the knee.
Yep.
And it stuck there.
Oh. Elbows, wrists.
Yeah.
I had stones under everything.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
Stupid stuff, but good, clean fun.
Yes.
You lived through it.
Yeah.
It's too bad that the Gull River narrows and snakes into something that's barely... You can't travel in it.
You can't really get
through. Maybe in a kayak, maybe, but nobody's really ever done it.
Right.
Yeah. I've gone up on a canoe as far as I could go, but... I mean, literally, then you'd have to portage around the little dam.
Oh, wow.
The Gull Dam,
right.
and then go back into this. So we couldn't come and visit through the water this way, but we could trailer up the boat.
Wearing our buckskins and our coonskin caps.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny on the way over here. There was this huge department, you know, transportation sign all lit up. Gull Dam Road closed ahead.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, Gull Dam it. About that.
Exactly, right?
Gull Dam Road's closed.
We can't go see.
Oh, it's a dam. Oh, I get it.
I've been to that dam. I've been to, you know, back in the day. I used to go to that dam a lot.
Yeah. Did you fish it?
No.
Okay.
No. Never fished it.
All right. There was one other thing I was going to mention. The boat tours. What is the vehicle you're taking out on Lower Gull, David? When you... are we talking pontoons here?
Pontoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. How big a scat water do you have on the back of that bad boy?
I would say it can fit 8 people.
Okay. And what horsepower? Is it inboard, outboard? What are we talking
about? It's an outboard 90.
Okay. Well, that'll get you.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Stable. Very stable.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's kind of a parting shot here. I was enjoying the upstairs view and noticing that a very large jet black squirrel was running up your hill.
Yes.
And according to my friend who is big into Irish folklore, that they are harbingers of All Hallows Eve.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that. Big crows and black squirrels. And don't turn your back on them.
For us, at least, like down in the cities, I know, especially in the wintertime, every now and then when we're walking the dog, we'll see a white squirrel.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
One year, there was one that got caught up on the roof,
right.
A flying squirrel.
Flying squirrel?
Yeah.
I've seen those up here.
Which I have not seen, but my mother ended up finding one that was caught and had somebody come out and, you know, release it.
Yeah, we've seen them at our place, like at night.
Well, you remember when
it's kind of freaky. It's like you feel like you're in the Wizard of Oz movie or something.
Exactly.
The monkeys.
Yeah.
We chatted up Stan Tequila, and he was there. That
Was it Oliver?
Orville.
Orville.
The flying squirrel.
Yeah.
Very friendly. Cute little thing. Very friendly.
I think they rescued it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, gosh. A king size thank you.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Thank you for coming out. I appreciate it.
Troubadour, lyricist, songwriter. And, of course, Daredevil.
Aficionado.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
And glad to have you. And
thanks for the coffee.
Glad to have you. And thanks for the coffee. And from live on the banks of the Lower Gulf, Bjorn Loistad.
And Fudd Klugman.
Signing off.
We'll see you next time.
Adieu.
Another great interview with...
It was.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that we find that there's... so much in common. I don't know if it's that he's a Minnesota St. Paul guy.
Well,
had similar stories of
we're thick like that.
Youthful
St. Paulers, you know?
Dangerous, playful activities like jumping over the bodies of your friends on bikes,
bicycles, leaping over, you know, hoping you don't crush their pancreas, the rear tire.
Yes, indeed.
You'll shooting wipe bottle out. Rockets. I mean, you know, you hit that torso, and then you're going down too.
Yeah.
So
oh, yes.
It's a yard sale.
Check out the album on Spotify or iTunes. It's called Green and Blue.
Yeah.
By Fine.
Yeah, Fine.
And you get to hear Bjorn grooving on the bass,
rocking out.
And it's good stuff. It's fun stuff. I really liked it, and liked talking to Dave, and loved. Visiting his place,
I'm
jealous.
Had it been early enough, maybe a pontoon cruise on Lower Gull. I'm doubting that offer doesn't still exist.
Right.
I'm guessing we still have.
I'm
that
sure.
If we could ever find that place again.
Oh, I know. That's right. Took us a while to snake our way back to.
Yeah, it was a hidden gem.
Nice place. A good time. All right. Hopefully, a smaller gap before our next show.
Right. We do have plenty on tap.
Oh yes.
It's not the content hasn't gone away, Fudd.
No.
We've had to do a couple other things
distracted.
In the meantime.
Yes.
In the bleak.
Yes. In the
midwinter.
Bleak. Yeah. It's been a long one. Looking forward to
you know
the thaw.
Yes. The chimenea and the cigar tonight, and it's 39 degrees, but we're still looking at 3 feet of snow in your backyard. And
it's still a white landscape.
There will come a spring, I'm told, and area poets, authors, and musicians will get back in their Alumacrafts and start tossing arbogasts, top floaters out onto the various streams,
maybe
lakes and creeks.
Cigar butts. With human faces on it.
Yes, indeed.
The hammer, the copper
daredevil.
Yeah, there we go.
Anyway,
all right.
We'd like to thank you all again for staying the course and hanging in there with us. And
thanks so much to David.
David Ebner, Fine, and donating their time and sound. And let's check out the movie.
All right.
Let's go see a film.
Sounds good.
All right.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.